remove a benign tumor. I believe it's on the 17th, right? And we have a card back there that is going to be given to him before he goes in for that surgery. And so write your name on it, write a message on there, because I know he'd be very greatly encouraged if you would do that. It's, you know, I'll be honest, I have no idea what it'd be like to have a child that was having a brain surgery. It'd be very upsetting to me, but it'd also be a great comfort to me knowing that my church family is on board supporting in such a way. Yes. And so on the 17th of February, I'm going to take a special time. I would love to see that, you know, if we could say that we divvied it up and we prayed for Jeremy for 24 hours that day just from this congregation, because the power of prayer is incredible. And also, if you didn't know it already, my mom was baptized on Monday. Yeah. Yeah, we changed the water. She's watching, Mom. But she'd been considering it for a long time, and it wasn't warm. And when she came up out of the water, she mentioned to us she didn't know if that cold water was going to kill her. And I like what Roland said. He said, "You died in there anyway." That's what he said. And there's a card back there for her, too. We're going to send her a card on making the good confession, the good decision to follow Christ. And it's extra special for me because, you know, she's my mom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And she came out here and went back with a van full of hope. Yes, and sir. So she made it back. She's watching this morning. Congratulations, Mom. And also the Deitch family is back here, Chris and Sarah Deitch, and they have new baby Felicity here. And she looks like she's going to have a lot of hair like her mom and sister, too. And so welcome back. And we missed you, and we're happy that you're here. And there's a lot of people gone. I've never, the whole time I've been there, I've never seen so many babies at one time. I don't know where they're coming from, but I saw Jonathan and Crystal's new baby last night, and no, he was not born with a top hat, but the funny part is Crystal's going to make him a little silk top hat and get a picture with him and Jonathan together. And then I also want to make mention again, that I'm going to be leaving on March 10th to teach at Athens International Bible Institute again. And Jana is going to make 16 days of that trip. And our sister Drew is going on that trip. And Drew has a very passionate heart for missions. Her vacations basically boil down to camp for, what, the last three decades. And as you know, she has struggled with her health for so long, and it's going to be an absolute blessing to have her there and to work with the Afghan children, teaching them to read and write in English. And, you know, this is, to me, I'm very moved to know that she's going to be there, and my wife and her will share in that mission. And one of the things that we would like to do, I was able to raise my support and Janice's support to go, and part of Drew's support. But we would like it to let you know that the elders have agreed with this. We would like to see if we can't raise $800 to cover the price of her ticket to go over. And so there'll be an opportunity between now and the middle of March, if you would like to contribute toward that. Just mark a check and give it to one of the elders or Doug Zimmerman, or put it in the dish and just make sure they know that, because she's going over to do a great work. And all this while suffering cancer at the same time, she's going to have the most wonderful time there. And so come to the aid of your sister. If you could open your Bibles up to Romans 15, 7 through 29. The title of this morning's lesson is, what does it mean to accept one another? What does that mean? We're in the closing section of the book of Romans, and Paul is offering some parting advice. He said in Romans 15, 7, therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Now, this has to be one of the greatest tests that we can have as a Christian, because it's not natural for us to accept people who are different than us. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We're so different. I think I have a slide up here of the diversity that we have. I thought I made one like that. Is it there, Dave? Yeah. No? Did I not put that on? I thought I did. Oh, there it is. Lots of faces. We're very diverse as a human race. You know, imagine that a black woman from the South comes from a different background than an Asian in the Northwest. And a white country farmer in the Midwest, and that's the background I came up in, we come from a completely different background than a New York cab driver. Female African refugee sees the world differently from a young man on a skateboard in California. And a rich white female grad from Harvard likely has little in common to the poor male migrant worker in South Texas. And despite the desperate ISIS killer from Syria likely shares little with the Hispanic nurse who works in the hospital. You know, there's such a variance, a diversity of people. And where they come from largely leads to prejudging people and conflict while in the world. But Paul's not writing about the world. He's writing about the church. He's writing to the church. He says, you be accepting to one another. Now, that's easy to say, but it's hard to do, because we come out of the world. We're transformed from out of the world into His marvelous light, and we bring luggage with us when we come. And you know, regardless of whether we're male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, we are all made one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3, verse 28. Now, it's easy to be accepting of one another. It's much more difficult to carry it out. Now, Paul knew this better than any of the workers that I read about in the Bible, any of the workers for Christ. He reached out to everyone from souls, all the way from Arabia, where he started out, clear over to Spain if he did make that trip. You know, look at all the different people that he came across. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, he grew up in a Jewish culture, circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew among Hebrews, he says in Philippians. You didn't have to leave too far from Jerusalem before you came to people. I mean, just the Samaritans, you had the different worshipers of different religions in Asia. My goodness, when he arrived at Athens, that was like little India. At that point, you know, you had all kinds of different people from Arabia all the way to Spain. And yet Paul would say to the Jew, I become as a Jew that I might win the Jews, to those who are not under the law as being not under the law, that I might win those who are not under the law. To the weak, I become weak. I become all things for all men, that by all means I might save some. Paul understood diversity. So here's a man asking us, and the Roman Christians, to be accepting to one another as Christ accepted you. Jesus doesn't see black, white, yellow, red. He doesn't see male or female. He doesn't see bond or free. He doesn't care what car you drove to church this morning. He doesn't care whether I wore a suit. I mean, he sees us in our birthday suits. It's called our soul. That's what he sees. And so when Paul is asking this, he's basing it on five areas, how to focus and to be able to accept one another. There has to be common ground, and Paul identifies five areas of this common ground. If you want to be accepting of one another, and we try, but some of you drive each other nuts, okay? We do things a little bit differently, and we start imposing our opinions. Sometimes people struggle with sin longer, and we struggle with impatience. But we're asked to be accepting to one another. Here's five ways that you do that. Number one, being accepting of others means accepting a common praise to God. Being accepting of others means accepting a common praise to God, verses 8 through 13. He says, "For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples bless him," or praise him. And again Isaiah said, "There shall come from the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now Paul was making reference to the goal of a common praise to the Father. You see, it was not limited to the Jews, but it was also to the Gentiles. That was God's plan. We must remember that the biggest problem plaguing the Roman church was there was some strife between the Jewish converts and the Gentile converts. The Jews went out and were kicked out by Claudius. And when they returned 5 years later, the Gentiles were the new elders and the new deacons. They were, you know, the Jews were hurt. They don't need us. Sometimes you don't feel good when you were depended on. Now they don't need you anymore. So their feelings were hurt, and they were trying to say, "Well, but we have the lineage," and played games like that. That's why Paul wrote the book of Romans, so that they would be accepting of one another, because that was their problem. So it's natural that Paul would close his book emphasizing the same thing. And how does Paul prove it? Well, those things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, Romans 15:4. He's going to apply that principle here. He quotes four passages from the Old Testament, those things written aforetime. Deuteronomy 32:43, Psalm 117:1, Isaiah 11:10, Psalm 18:50. All those verses from the Old Testament, which the Jews were familiar with, said the Gentiles are going to be open to the same praise to God that you have. That was a revolutionary passages. Paul proved that it was God's will for all men and women to offer their praise, a common praise unto God. Now, if Jews and Gentiles can come together in the first century and praise God, what's our excuse? I mean, you look at David understood this. Look at Psalm 148:1-5. He said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in his highest. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord." And he commanded, and they were created. David understood that there was a common praise. Paul understood this. Philippians 1:11. With the goal of being filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, based on what? To the glory and praise of God. John understood this in Revelation 19:5, and when he recorded down, "Give praise to our God, all you bondservants, you who fear him, small and great." He's an equal opportunity praise acceptor of all of us. As the late Frances Jane Crosby, she understood this. Who is she? She wrote in her hymn in 1869 to have a common praise to God. She wrote, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor. give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. So what do? We praise Him. Praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. You have sung those words. Now let's live those words. We have a common praise unto God. And the question remains, do we accept the fact that we have a common praise to God? It doesn't matter how old you are, what background you came from, whether you're male or female, rich or poor. Doesn't matter what you do for a living. When we come together here, when we came in the body of Christ, we came out of that water with common praise to God. And we can accept that. I tell you, I can't, you know, if I'm ever going to accept you and you're going to accept me, we have to accept the fact that we have common praise. And there's the second one. Being accepting of others means accepting the good in others. Accepting the good in others. Listen to what Paul says. Romans 15, verse 14 through 16. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself am also convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest of the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now think about what Paul said. Even though the church in Rome had some serious problems, Paul was still able to see the goodness in the Christians. You see, our natural tendency is to be negative. It is. You know, it is a proven fact that when you say, like if you look at somebody's tie, I'll use Mike's bow tie. It stands out to me. That if I say, that's a real nice bow tie, or if I say, that's a nasty bow tie, five times more people will agree it's nasty than it is good. That's just how we are. We will agree with a negative five times more than we do a positive. So we should be positive at least five times more to break even. But what do? We carry the luggage around. Somebody hurt me, and then I'm going to hold that grudge later on. And pretty soon I can't even see good in anybody. You know, you get that stinking thinking, and you can't accept one another anymore. You know, the fact is that the Roman Christians shared the covenant of Christ, and it was based on the goodness Christ imparted to them when He cleaned them squeaky clean and always. One of the greatest hindrances to accepting one another is when we fail to see any good in the other person. You know, if we thought hard enough, we could probably find some good about Osama bin Laden. You have to think hard, but I'm sure there's something there. I prayed that he would be saved. I thank God he had a soul. That's good. You know, the point being, everybody has something positive that you could focus on. Usually we can't do that because we don't take our minds off the negative things. Maybe it was a way someone else worships differently than us. I'm telling you right now, you go to different places in the world. It may be Church of Christ, and they have differences on how they worship. There's in Romania, they use real wine. I went out to find grape juice one Sunday morning. They laughed at me. They said, "What's grape juice?" You know, it was either going to be snow or wine. You know, you go to Africa, things are a little bit different. You go to India, things are a little bit different. You know, sometimes, let me tell you, in Africa, this one threw me off balance big time. See, here when women nurse, you know, they're very discreet. They go back in the little room and they have the big blanket and the nursing tent and they put it on and everything. But in Africa, first time I was preaching there, there's a bunch of women nursing in the front row and they just pulled the whole shirt off. What do I do? Preach. I preached. I looked up to the heavens and I preached. That threw me off. You know, it's, and so In order to be accepting to one another, you have to look for the good in that individual. You do the same thing with the lost. You love them for what they can become, not who they are.
Yes,
you know, when you do that, you're looking for the good in the individual. Have we forgotten that Peter referred to us, the church, as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession? We're to be zealous for good works. We forget that. You know, brother steps on our toes, or a sister does something to us, and all of a sudden that goes out the window.
Yes.
We got royal blood in our veins. We forget that.
Yes,
I suggest we start with that. I think we'd be more accepting of one another if we do that. Being accepting of one another means being able to see the good in our fellow saint.
Yes,
number three, being accepting of others means accepting the power of a common gospel. Accepting the power of a common gospel. Look at 17 through 21. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in power of signs and wonders, in power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I inspired to preach the gospel. Not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build upon another man's foundation, but as is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Now listen to what Paul's focusing on. Paul said that his gospel did not come to him. You know, he didn't present the gospel in word only. He backed it up with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That gospel had power, big power. First of all, it's powerful in that it's backed up by the Holy Spirit, Mark 16:20. Secondly, it was the power of the message of hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Romans 1:5, Romans 1:15 and 16. The word is dunamis, where we get dynamite from. I don't know about you, dynamite is powerful. But the gospel is even more powerful. And so, this had to be the greatest way to accept others in the church. For we have a powerful common gospel. That same gospel that called the Indian in the remote areas of the coconut groves. It may have fallen into a different culture at a different time, but it was the same gospel able to adapt wherever it fell. That same gospel that saved the Indian, saved the Greek, that same gospel, when it fell over into Africa, it morphed a little bit so that it fit the culture, but the method changed, the message never changed. Same gospel that saved those in Arkansas, saves them in Pennsylvania, saves them in Iowa. Saves Eskimos and igloos. It's the same gospel. It's a common gospel. But what will we try to do sometimes? You have people trying to change the gospel. Gospel doesn't need changing. God designed it. You know, God designed it to where no matter where you're at, you drop it, it will morph into the saving message for that culture, for those people. And that's exciting. We all had to accept the hope of Christ. We all had to make ourselves in the likeness of his death, burial, resurrection at baptism. We all had to hear that sweet message of an empty tomb that echoed on the third day. We all responded to the same common gospel. Ain't nobody better than anyone else. We all had the powerful message given to us and we responded to it.
Amen.
I don't know how I could be accepting of you anymore. And you can be accepting of me anymore. And the fact that who we are is the same thing, the same foundation. You know, I think it was Dave Smith that was with me and a couple other brothers. We were up in New York City. Okay. Dave, was that you? No, stop. There was somebody with a Harding jacket. Who was with me? Well, you're over 50. You forget things too, Dave. But we were up at Toys R Us in Times Square. And you go up those escalators back and forth. As we're going up, as we're going down, I turn around and a couple of brothers and I see a Harding jacket going up. And we were already going down. And he disappeared somewhere. But man, we turned around. We were searching them out. People asking us what we're looking for. Said, you see a guy with a Harding jacket? Because you know what? We shared the same gospel, a common gospel. Now, why was I basing on that? Why would you even wear a Harding jacket in New York? When we caught up to him, it was nice. I tell you, we never even met him before. But the fact we had the gospel in common,
yes, sir.
We had everything in common.
Yes,
I don't care where he's from. I don't care what he's done. I care what Christ did in his life.
Amen.
And we talked for about an hour. And amazingly, we knew a lot of people in common. That's how it works in the church, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You go somewhere, and no matter where you go, if you're active in the church where you're at, no matter where you go, that's how it works. These shysters who come and say, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ looking for money. I always say, well, start naming some names.
Hello.
Yeah. If they can't name somebody, that's a big flag that goes up. When you share a common gospel, you are automatically close.
Amen.
Being accepting of one another means being accepting of a common sacrifice. Of a common sacrifice. Look at 22 through 29. Oh, I go up to 33 today. I'm sorry. I got 4 bonus verses. You know, I didn't sleep last night. My back was killing me. It was bad. I was thinking, I'm going to be real tired. Even one sister said to me, well, you're entitled to have a bad lesson, but I can't preach about the gospel. I'm not excited. I'm going to take a power nap when I go home. So don't any of you call me. I'm not going to lunch with any of you. I love you, but I must get sleep. 22 through 29, for this reason I have been prevented from coming to you, but now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have for many years longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you. For I have first enjoyed your company, after I have first enjoyed your company for a while, but now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to the minister to them in the material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and I have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come, I will come in fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now think about what Paul said there. He's talking about sacrifice. Sacrifice. There are 2 sacrifices being made reference to. Number 1, the sacrifice of fellowship. Paul was making an effort to travel all the way to Rome via on his way to Spain. And see, Romans 1:11, for I long to see you. Now, for those who find it hard to get up Sunday morning, imagine how difficult it is to make a trip of almost 1,000 miles before jet engines by boat and by foot.
Yes.
That's a sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
You know, when Paul talks about this, he would suffer hunger and thirst, heat and the cold, sickness, wild animals and wild people he'd meet on the way. It was no cakewalk. But yet he could still say, I long to see you. That is a commitment to fellowship. But there's also a sacrifice of giving. He was taking up a collection for the struggling saints of Jerusalem. Gentiles were being asked to sacrifice for the same brethren who often gave them the cold shoulder. Yet they were willing to give of their funds in the time of need. Both sacrifices were used as a demonstration of accepting one another. We must have the same test before us in the church today. We're being asked to take the time out of our hectic schedule to meet for kingdom purposes and with kingdom people. We brave the cold of winter to fellowship. Some people come a long distance, burning much fuel, and just to spend time with you their brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about all the time we carve out of our schedule to be part of home group Bible studies, worship services, classes, youth events, ministries. These are sacrifices. Also think about the monetary sacrifices that the Christian makes. There are many great needs in the Lord's missions, which you have contributed to, and you joyfully have done so. And you shall joyfully continue. Because it's about accepting one another. I want to go back to the Drew thing again. You see, I knew what the message was going to be about this morning. And I knew when I... You may have seen me kind of tear up a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't know how long this sister will be with us. But just thinking about her over in Greece and you being part of it, that's a beautiful way to show acceptance of one another out of a common sacrifice. Number 5. Romans 15, 30 through 33. Being accepting of others means accepting the power of prayer. Accepting the power of prayer. He says, "Now I urge you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be proved acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Paul mentioned to the Roman Christians that they were to strive together in their prayers for him. They prayed for Paul to be delivered from an angry, rebellious souls of Judea. They prayed that Paul's service of the Lord would prove to be fruitful. They prayed for Paul's travels to Rome would come about. They were directly connected together with Paul through prayer. This is long before email. It's knee mail. When you get down on your knees and you pray together and you pray for one another, that is one of the greatest ways we can ever demonstrate accepting one another. Communal prayer offered by the saints is a great way to show acceptance. We can do it any place, anytime. No restrictions. They can't tax it. Man, you could be in a prison cell. And they could have you under guard. Lock you down in Supermax. When you offer the common prayer of the saints,
amen.
Supermax cannot lock it down. It ascends into the Holy of Holies and is acceptable and well-pleasing unto our Father. When a group of Christians come together for the purpose of a common prayer, they demonstrate that they are in acceptance of one another. They become prayer warriors fighting against the forces of evil in this world and empowering the works of the kingdom in their lives. Why don't we do this more often? You know, we always go together and eat. There's going to be 10 people in here. If I just creep on you when we're done with worship service, if I just take 5 minutes and creep, what are you doing? You want to go to Hawaii's? Want to go to Moe's? Want to go eat? Come over to my place, going to eat? If we took half the time that we planned to eat together, if we just prayed together, wow, we'd be accepting one another. Big time. Why don't we do it though? Do we doubt the power of prayer? Do we doubt God's ability to answer the prayer? Are we afraid that we might draw closer to others? Because that's what will happen.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, how many times have you gone and prayed with a brother or sister in a nursing home, in a hospital, and a friendship is forged with it, which is lifelong? It's huge. If you just took the time to dial up that brother or sister who's hurting, say, "I want to have a prayer with you." I've seen it happen so many times. You know, I remember when Jason Kroll, long ago, when he was on his deathbed in the hospital up at Hershey, and all the elders came up and prayed for him before that surgery, which inevitably he would never recover from. We were very sad when we got there. But we were unified 1,000%. And as those weeks lingered on and his body failed, we go see him. Rest assured, he knew everybody was praying for him. Take the time to write your prayers out and send people the emails. Don't just say you're going to pray. Oh, I'll pray for you. That's one of the things I love about Lou Baccio. I'll always remember this. Long after he is gone, whenever something comes up, he says, well, let's pray about it right now. Let's pray about it right now. Not, I will pray with you later. Or I'll pray, I'll be praying for you tonight. He says, let's pray about it right now. And I'll bow my head going down the interstate. Saying, Lord, please help me not to hit this car at this point. But man, pray right now. Because when you pray for that other individual, it just forges your souls together. No greater acceptance than that. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. We need to do that. So the conclusion is this. We must show acceptance to one another. We must do that. Paul emphasized 5 ways to do it. What would happen if the church, if only we took that path on a daily basis, heeded those words? What would happen? I leave you with the invitation. Let's find out. Amen.